Nobody wants a storm. Nobody wants the wind and the rain. If I asked for a show of hands, I don't think I'd get one. If I said, how many love the storm, the winds, and the rain? Just love it. You love it when you're inside warm and safe and secure to look out on the white caps out on the water out there. That's nice. That's neat. But you don't want to be on the water going through it. And yet, if you respond to the Lord Jesus as you go through those things, you find you're in the Master's grip. How many know this morning? Let's see a show of hands. You're in the Master's grip. He hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't left you when you're in the storm. If you look into His face, you'll find those are the times where you'll be strengthened. Two responses in life. We've talked about it many times. You either get bitter or better. You either get bitter at the frustrations that have caused things to be difficult, or you get better when you say, Lord, help me see what it is you want for me. It doesn't mean everything that happens is good, but my prayer for my life is that when I go through a difficult time, it won't be a wasted event. But that, Lord, if there's something I'm to learn, if I did it myself or caused it myself, even if not, if it's just life happening, Lord, help me see you and learn and grow to be more like you in the midst of it all. Isn't that your prayer here this morning? There's three little words that I want you to say and repeat after me. Three little words. Forward. Facing. Faith. Same again. Forward. Facing faith. One more time. Forward, facing faith. And that's the name of the message this morning. We spent 7 weeks on the Heroes Hall of Fame from Hebrews chapter 11. One of the players in the chapter, one of the heroes, is someone we've discussed throughout the course of years here. And his name is Joseph. Can you say his name with me?
Joseph.
Today we're going to begin a discussion, several lessons and several weeks on the life of Joseph. And today we're going to touch on a beginning perspective. But he was used so powerfully by the Lord. And the steps the Lord arranged for Joseph to experience, to develop him, were not easy. They were anything but. And yet God has his way through him. How many understand Joseph is probably one of the closest types to Jesus in all of Scripture? There are no character flaws and failings that this Scripture criticizes him for. Now, we might be able to think of a couple of things as we go through that he might have handled perhaps a little bit better. Maybe he shouldn't have shared all his dreams with his older brothers about how they would be bowing before him. Maybe that was the zeal of youth and not wisdom. But nevertheless, his life, his example, his response to God, what an example to us and what a close picture of Jesus himself. But there are some incredible things I want to learn from him. If you look at your own Bible, turn to Hebrews 11. Yes, I've got it up here, but Hebrews 11. I'd like you to have your home plate from your own Bible and see it there so you can refer to it later. Hebrews chapter 11. And I know we finished our series on Heroes of the Faith last week, but we're going to go back to this chapter, pick up on a verse, and then carry on from there. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22. Hebrews 11, verse 22. I'm reading from the New King James. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, when he was what?
Dying.
Made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. Now watch this out of the New Living, and I have it up on the screen. Out of the New Living, the same verse, Hebrews 11, verse 22. It was by faith that Joseph, when he was about to what? Die, said confidently, said what?
Confidently,
that the people of Israel would leave Egypt. It even commanded them to take his bones with them when they left. Out of the Message, Hebrews 11, verse 22, also up on the screen. By an act of faith, Joseph, while dying, prophesied the exodus of Israel. And he made arrangements for his own burial. Now, we know from the Scriptures that Joseph died at the age of 110 years old. It was a long journey. It was a journey full of sufferings. It was a painful journey. But he finally died, the Bible tells us, at the age of 110. Sometimes this man was on the top of the mountain in excitement, and other times after hearing from God, and other times he was completely on the bottom. And that's how we sometimes feel. Come on, isn't that true? Anybody ever been on top and then the next moment feel like you're on the bottom? How would you like to have been Peter? You have the great revelation. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but this is coming from God. And then the next moment he turns around, get thee behind me, Satan, because he tries to tell Jesus, you're not going to go to the cross. Ever felt like on the mountaintop and down to the bottom? Oops. That was one of Peter's oops moments. You got to love Peter. I love Peter. Feel a little like Peter sometimes, don't you? All right. Number one, there is a key for you and for me in the heroes of the Hall of Faith. There's a key hidden here, and I want to talk about it just briefly as we begin a discussion on the life of Joseph. Hebrews 11, verse 20. Watch this. 11, verse 20. I have it up there. It's in your scriptures. You're already open to it. Hebrews 11, verse 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning, please say the last three words with me, things to come. Verse 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was what? Dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, being on the top of his staff. Hebrews 11, verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel, gave instructions concerning his bones. Verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe, when she had received the spies with peace. Now, I know this is a brief synopsis, but what we don't read about at the end of their life is a life filled with regrets on their deathbed. We don't read about that. We don't read of bitternesses over the futility and the difficulty of their life. Their difficulties in each of these characters' lives was myriad. They were myriad difficulties. Jacob spent nearly 20 years of his life. How would you feel? He spent nearly 20 years of his life not knowing that his son was not dead. And God could have told him at any time. How would you like that? Do you think you might have a few words with God about that? Hey, I thought we were on speaking terms. The Lord must have had something to work out in his life. We read the story of Joseph and it's wonderful and dealings after dealings in his response. But consider what Jacob or his dad must have gone through. Joseph knew something better was coming. Rahab the harlot, she knew that her country was going to change forever, if you recall your scriptures. They knew Israel was on the way and they were going to overtake that land. God had given them the land and Israel had wiped out the enemies on the way that had withstood them. She undoubtedly, Rahab the harlot, was undoubtedly on the bottom rung of the society perspective. She was probably mistreated, misused. She was abused, she was looked down, she was beneath everybody because she was what? She was simply a harlot. She was a prostitute. And they didn't do anything or think anything good for this woman, but she believed that something that God had spoken was going to happen. And what God speaks will happen. Say it with me. What God speaks will happen. Say it again with strength. What God speaks will happen. Now look at each other and say it sudden. You better believe it, y'all. She took action. She took action. And the action began on the inside. You know what? Our mouths speak the words that come out of our hearts. Our actions spring up out of what we believe. Come on, say it with me. God can change everything. You know what you're saying this morning? Do you really believe that? God can change everything. What's the key? Forward facing faith. The common thread, the first three, they were dying. Rahab, she faced certain death. All four were facing forward. No matter what happened in the past, no matter how difficult their present, no matter what they were going through, they had faith in God for the future. While these guys were dying, they were on their deathbed, giving it every last bit of forward-facing faith right through to their last breath, and they were blessing on the way out. They weren't bitter for what life had become on the way out. They were blessing that God was in charge, and I've got something to give away. How many in this room know you've got something in Jesus that He's put inside of you to give away? Come on, you've got something to give to people and something to give to family and children and those glorious, you all have the best, most glorious grandchildren. You got something to give them. Yeah, maybe they're going to think grandma and grandpa are a little strange. You've been touched. But if you live as a person of faith, no matter how difficult it gets, you've got something to give. Pastor Carl, right in his waning moments, probably his last vocal prayer on earth, I am moved about it and will for the rest of my life, prayed a vocal prayer for my son Christopher, that he would be blessed with his family as they moved to begin a ministry in Butte, Montana. I was moved by it. Your grandchildren were brought by children so he would have opportunity to bless them. We have the testimony of a couple of the kids. He prayed over them for 45 minutes, and the parents thought he just prayed for 5 minutes. 45 minutes later, you know, it's kind of like, okay, you want to wrap it up now? No. He had something to give. Simply an example. Forward-facing faith. All of Scripture, you understand, all of Scripture is facing forward. You understand that? All of Scripture is facing forward. In the Old Testament, they talked about and looked to a Messiah who would be coming. In the New Testament, the Messiah came, but He died, was buried, and rose again, thank God. And the Scripture says He's coming again. And in Revelation, you read, the Spirit and the Bride say what? Come. Forward facing faith. Are you facing forward? Don't allow your circumstances to dictate your faith. I know some of you are facing tough circumstances. I know that. Don't allow your circumstances to dictate your faith. Forward facing faith. Don't give in to despair and disbelief. Don't give in to thinking that the best is behind you. Come on, say it with me. I am young, vibrant, and alive. Turn to each other and say, you know, you really are hot stuff. I'm an encourager. See, just an encourager. Listen, church, come on, say it with me. The best is yet to come. Feeling a little Sinatra mood here this morning. Let's see, we're country, we're Sinatra. The best is yet to come. Come on. The best is yet to come. Let's say it to each other. The best is yet to come. Say it again. The best is yet to come. Say it again. The best is yet to come. Is it? Is it?
It is.
Yes, it is.
Don't be bitter about the journey of life. Because we know that God allows suffering and testing and turmoil to temper and to change us. Listen, church, there's a principle we all need to hold on to. It is not so important what we go through as to what we become as a result of it. It's not so important what we go through as to what we become as a result of it. I didn't just read it in a book. Been there too. God have your way. He says in the Scripture, in the whirlwind and in the storm. Forward-looking faith gets tested. Several examples. King David. Do you know that King David spent 12 to 15 years before becoming king of Israel after he had been prophesied over? He'd been prophesied over, he'd been anointed, and he went from the soldier and the hero. You know, Saul's slain his thousands, David has slain his 10,000s. So he goes from the hero on the mountaintop to hiding out in caves because King Saul wants to take his head off. Next time you see a prophet coming to anoint you, don't you think David probably said, get away from me. On the run and difficulty and turmoil and trouble. 12 to 15 years before the word of the Lord was fulfilled. Moses, Hebrews 11, verse 23. You've got it in front of you there. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents. Because they saw he was a beautiful child, they were not afraid of the king's command. How many thank God? It's not just Moses in the Hall of Faith, Heroes of Faith. His parents made it into the Heroes Hall of Faith. Because what was happening in Egypt, there was a decree that the male children were to be slaughtered, killed, throw them into the Nile. And his parents saw there was destiny on this child. He was a beautiful child. They kept him, they hid him, and then they put him in a little ark, basically, send him down the river. The daughter or the sister follows along. He ends up being found by Pharaoh's daughter and mom. Now watch this. Mom gets to nurse Moses as he grows. Now, let me ask you. If your child was stolen from you, if your son that you loved was stolen from you, ladies, would you be bitter? You think you'd be a tad upset? You know, you mother she-bears. Don't touch my kid. Right? You know? You know, that's the way it is when you're growing up. My wife was the same way, man. You know, she and I, we could deal with my kids. We saw the flaws. We'll deal with them. Neighbor comes in to do it. Hey! Yeah. Don't touch my kid that way. Look. What do you think she must have gone through? But here's what you don't read. And she raged with bitterness and walked away and killed herself. She saw destiny in this child, nursed him, and had the joy of helping to raise him as she gave him to the hands of the Lord. Was it easy? That was the Lord saying, no, it wasn't easy. Was it easy? No. No, no. But God did something. Listen, how difficult it is in your life right now. Say two words with me. But God. But God. You can do anything. He's the one who holds the future. Forward facing faith. You and me. You and me. How we respond now. In the times of trial, it's vital right now. But I want you to consider something. What you do has a far greater purpose. If you're facing temptation and you don't want to stand against it for your own sake, stand against it for those who are watching you. Stand against it. You know, what's the old song? Little eyes are watching and, you know, little ears are hearing. Stand against it for the sake of those who watch and follow behind you. Nephews, nieces, brothers, sisters, children, grandchildren. Will they be able to someday hang your picture in their heroes of the Hall of Faith? When you're facing temptation, I would love to tell you that sometimes I stand against temptation just because I'm such a mighty man. You know, wouldn't you love to say that?
I'm a mighty man. I'm a mighty woman of God. I have no problems. I walk on water.
Well, that's just not where it's at yet. We still have a little bit of work left to do. So we stand against it. And hey, guys, that's why we come to church. We help each other. You know, we've said it before. I don't want to go into temptation and sin. I don't want to go into sin because sure as I do, one of you is going to walk in. What are you doing here?
Then I'll look at you and go, well, what are you doing here?
But we need each other in the family of God, you guys. We need each other. That's why we strengthen each other. People that say the church means nothing to me are missing it. The Bible says, in the last days, gather together even more. Don't deny the gathering together of the saints. And so much the more as you see the day approaching, the Bible says. Forward-facing faith. Just talk about it just a moment. Veterans Day. Men and women for all the generations of our country have looked beyond their own suffering, looked beyond their own comfort, and they've suffered on our behalf to give us the freedom that we sit here in today. And we should not take the liberty and the freedoms lightly or tritely. We should work. We should vote. We should stand. We should pray. We should kneel. And we should cry out to God for our America, that it be filled with revival from one end of the country to the other, that we not throw away our foundations that were given to us by blood, sweat, tears, and toil by those veterans, men and women, who have gone before us. Thank God for the veterans. You understand that it's a federal holiday observed on November 11, coinciding with other holidays, such as Armistice and Remembrance Day, celebrated in other parts of the world. Maybe you didn't remember that it's all about the remembrance and set up for honoring World War I is when it came into practice. Major hostilities of World War I were formally ended at the 11th hour of the 11th day on the 11th month on 1918 when the armistice with Germany came into effect. Now, Veterans Day celebrates again the service of all military veterans, while Memorial Day is honoring all of those who died while serving. You know, how many of you remember the stars, the yellow stars in the windows in World War II and during occasions when husbands or spouses and children had died on the field of battle? Their cost yielded our victory.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
The Lord knows about your times of despair. The Lord sees all of your tears. The Bible says in 56 verse 8 of Psalms, "You number my wanderings, you put my tears into your bottle. Are they not all in your book?" Can I ask you an honest question? Anybody in this room ever pray, "Lord, use me to help someone else"? Come on, "Lord, use me to help others." Guess what? What He's doing is making you in such a way and fashioning and helping mold you in such a way that you're well able to do it. The Bible says we help others and comfort others with the comfort we've received. Well, that means we've been through turmoil and testing in order to receive His comfort. Israel wandered into the wilderness for 40 years after leaving Egypt, and the oldest generation refused to believe God. They were full of bitterness, and no matter how many miracles God did for them, they kept returning back to lack of faith, lack of faith. A 3-week wandering in the wilderness is all it should have taken. They'd come up to the land, and they refused to believe God. They refused to go in, and I think God's heart was devastated over that, and He got angry, and so He said, "Okay, you get to take a hike through the wilderness for 40 years. And the complainers said, "Oh, but our kids will be destroyed. This is not going to work." And God said, "You watch. Those kids that you won't believe me for, I'll do this with them, and they're going to get in just fine." That's what He did. We have opportunity to not get bitter, but to get better. Forward. Facing faith. Their circumstances were bound up. It bound up their faith instead of believing God's big enough to help them. Please keep considering those who follow you. And Joseph. Psalm 105, 16 through 22. "Moreover, He called for a famine in the land. He destroyed all the provision of bread." Watch this. "He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters," which means they tied his feet up tightly. "He was laid in irons," some say irons around the neck, "until the time that his word came to pass." Read that with me, please. "Until the time that His word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him." King James says, "tried him." "The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people let him go free. He made him lord of his house, ruler of all of his possessions, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his elders wisdom." Out of the New American Standard, Psalm 105, verses 18 through 19. "They afflicted his feet with fetters. He himself was laid in irons till the time the word came to pass." His word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. Out of the New Living, "They bruised his feet with fetters, placed his neck in an iron collar until the time came to fulfill his dreams, the Lord tested Joseph's character. God was working iron into Joseph. Joseph became the second in command in all of Egypt, the greatest famine the world had ever known. It took a strong man to accomplish a strong task. A very strong man. Tested, tried, in the furnace and in the fire. And when you look into that phrase, it literally means in the Hebrew, literally his soul came into iron. His soul came into iron. He was bound to his grief, and his grief was something that transformed him. Did he do anything wrong? Did Joseph do anything wrong, church?
No.
He was loved by his dad. He got a coat of many colors. We're trite about that, but what that really means is the favoritism that his dad showed him. That was a coat that demonstrated he was rich and in charge and the ruler. So his brothers were just a tad jealous. He had a dream. That wasn't his fault. His fault was yapping about it. He obeyed his dad to go check on his brothers. And do you know that Joseph was put in a cave or a pit and then he was sold? We all know that. But do you realize it would be bad enough for your brothers to sell you? But do you understand God let him be sold twice? Not just once, but twice? Isn't once the indignity all you need? Sold twice. Then he was lied about. He was thrown in prison. He interpreted dreams. Didn't do anything wrong. And he was forgotten about. After a while, wouldn't you stop and go, Lord, this is just ridiculous. I'm sure he felt abandoned. Church, don't ever give up until God says enough. And when it was enough, God delivered this man like that. And he became second ruler in Egypt. Forward, facing faith. I'm going to tell you a little story. We're going to close. I know it's tough. I know a lot of you have difficulties. And I know some of you have lost children. And some of you have lost grandchildren. Some of us have lost spouses. I know that. I know we wish that our family was all in there with us. And I know we bear one another's burdens. I want to just tell you a little story so it keeps you reminded we need to pray. Because sometimes, don't we thank God enough? Come on, don't we thank that? Come on, right along with that. That's enough. It tests somebody else now. How many have heard of the young gal, 17 years of age, who was just killed in Oak Harbor? And her twin sister, I haven't heard the result. Do you know, anybody know, has she passed away? She's still in intensive care? It's a dedicated Christian family. The two twins were on their way to a church party. And a drunk driver hit them and killed the one daughter in the back seat instantly. And the second daughter, the twin, is possibly still in intensive care at Harborview. I saw an interview on television with the pastor. It was one of the sweetest guys. They go, I believe it's to the Four Square Church there on Whidbey Island. Dedicated Christians. And they held a prayer vigil for them. And you know, what you don't think about is apparently the backstory is the person who was drunk, who hit them, they found in his back seat a Bible and materials and a pamphlet for AA. He stumbled. And his stumble cost. The depth of the cry and the pain and the bitterness and the forgiveness that would be necessary. Sometimes, don't you think it's just a little more than you can bear? But what you don't know is, 5 years earlier, their oldest child was killed by a drunk driver as well. When Dave Koblenz told me this story, because the girls were friends with David's oldest daughter, I literally began to weep, and I just was stunned as I thought of, it's one thing to have one child die, to have two, and possibly a third. You sit there and you go, is that the will of God? How can that be the will of God? It's not the will of God. I don't believe that's the will of God. But I believe the Lord has allowed it. And I believe that somehow our God can get glory through even this. Why do we suffer? Why is there pain and why is there turmoil? I don't know. You look in the Old Testament and remember he said he was going to drive the enemies out of the land little by little so they had opportunity to learn to wage warfare and be strong. I don't know. But I do know this. As a pastor, I don't have all the answers. But I know one thing. No matter what, Jesus loves you.
Yes.
Jesus loves you. And he's never stopped. And he's close to the hurting. And if that's you this morning, he's right here with you. And if you need to come up front so we can put our arms around you and pray for you and support you, that's what we're here to do. I may not have all the answers, but I do have a loving Jesus to give and share. And I know that's what you have for me. Church, we're going to go on. We're going to fulfill the will of God and do the best we can. And we're going to leave legacy for those who follow behind us. Why? Because we're so good? No, because God is. And because as a church, we're dedicated to Him and to having a forward facing faith. Would you stand with me, please? Musicians, would you come? Remember Hebrews 13, verse 5. I don't have it up on the screen. Just remember it. When the Lord says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Say it with me. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Kive. If you're here this morning and the Lord has spoken to your heart and possibly you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, I urge you, let this be the day you do so. Come forward and let's pray for you together. If you need healing in your body, come on forward. Let's pray. If you need a word of prayer, we'll be honored to pray with you. Remember, Jesus loves you.